for the RGB. So those are, so we had a, the committee is Baki Raghav Maharaj and Samba Prabhu.
And all you know Samba, sitting in the corner here. And Bhakta Harsha, Bhakta Harsha is here. Bhakta Harsha is there. Also Sabya Sachi Prabhu from Bala Vidyanagar. I think many of you who know him, he's come to our meeting. He used to be coming to our ICC meetings from Bala Vidyanagar. And this fallen soul, we met together, and Dave Amrita Prabhu also, and Sanak Sanatan are on the committee. So we met together in Vrindavan a couple weeks ago, and we're going to be making a presentation to the RGB in a couple of days. But we wanted an opportunity, since all the temple presidents are assembled here, to make a brief presentation to you all on behalf of this committee. So I'd like to, I believe Samba Prabhu, you're going to be making, or Bhakti Raghav Maharaj is going to make the presentation. Hare Krishna. Giving him a new name to make a living?
Hare Krishna. Maybe I'll just sit down behind the computer here. Or maybe I'll just stand for a few minutes. Otherwise, I'll be facing, giving my back to everyone. So, first of all, I would like to thank Dr. Rupa and all the members of the RGB who gave this opportunity by creating this committee last September. I do apologize for not having been able to attend that meeting in Surat. I was actually planning to attend at that time, but for various reasons I could not. Dr. Rupa Prabhu has already mentioned that this committee was established. And today's presentation is actually, I would say, relatively brief. Just before Gaur Purnima this year, we had an opportunity, again, by the mercy of another devotee, Janmashtami Prabhu, who is setting up our Mayapur Institute for higher education and training here in Mayapur, to give a 4-day seminar. And on Brahmashram. And that went over quite well. The whole concept of Brahmashram, we hope to get some pamphlets up that will summarize the brief presentation we would like to give this afternoon. Just for everyone's information, after these meetings, that means beginning tomorrow, we will, the committee, which has been established, will be presenting to the members of the RGB a proposed position paper on Varnashrama development in India. And because Varnashram, as Bhakti Rupa Prabhu rightly pointed out a few minutes ago, is a standing order, we could say, given to us way back by Srila Prabhupada. It will naturally have meaning for the whole of our society. So India is, I would say, fortunate in that it has seen, recognized the need the importance of establishing the committee to discuss, exchange, and present some proposals. So those proposals will be first seen and discussed by the RGB members in the next few days, and then whatever comes out of that will be, you know, filtered out and shared with all the members of the ICC. And another second paper, which we will be presenting tomorrow, again in connection with Varnashram development, is entitled, it's in the draft form right now. Legal, possible legal structures, document in regards to establishing communities. So that again will be discussed tomorrow and will be shared amongst all of you down the line somewhere. I would also like to take this opportunity to thank those devotees who are sitting on this committee. Varnashram Development, just before we begin our presentation here, actually the presentation is entitled ISKCON's Four Movements. This was part of our seminar just before Gaur Purnima. We've been working, or myself specifically, before I could come back in India 2 years ago, 2006, in Varnashram Development, especially in Indonesia, and this inspired both myself and others to actually try and promote and advance the whole cause of Varnashram, which many of us, I mean all of us know that it is a standing order given by Srila Prabhupada, and it's such a major order, such a major area as well also that it has not been so easy to implement. So hopefully today, by this presentation, and also in the next few days, by presenting our position paper to the RGB members, and whatever exchange and discussions come out of that, hopefully things will become a little more clarified and we can move all along. I think it's a wonderful opportunity. Many, many years ago, I think some of you may recall, Srila Prabhupada at one point mentioned that what India does today, actually the whole world, of course, some other time he did mention that the U.S. does, the whole world will follow. So it's, in other words, what India does can set a very good example. That's the point I want to make. And this is a great opportunity, India being a country historically, even today, based on religious, agrarian-based, and this is one of the important themes that will be covered, or that is covered, the whole topic of Varnashram. So I'll just ask, Harsha, I'll just comment a little bit as I, as we go through the presentation. After the PowerPoint, takes a few seconds to come up, we will just briefly mention a few quotes, important quotes given by Srila Prabhupada, and then at the end we will try and conclude by explaining what each temple, what all of us, see, what our society can expect to get out of, what benefits it will bring to our temples, to our members, to our families, etc. like that. So if you don't mind, I'll just sit down here and watch the show with all of you. Yeah? Okay. Huh?
Just one.
Okay. I can possibly just take a couple of seconds, mechanical adjustments going on. A few years back, this will be coming up at some particular time. A few years back, actually when I was in Indonesia, in the whole context of Varnashram, I felt a great need to formulate a kind of a general plan, and decided to put up a website. This website at that time, I established as we, taking experience from my years in India, attending various meetings such as this one, mission statement, supporting objectives, like that. So I chose a title, gave it a mission statement and supporting objectives, which I entitled Global Varnashram, Educational, Social, Cultural Organization, right? Global Varnashram Educational, National Cultural Organization, because it's very long, we put it in one simple word, which is called Glovesco. Glovesco, you might have heard of this word. You'll be hearing about it a bit more. It's something that was in a on our website since year 2002. And just to put, I guess, to share some basic information, it's coming up. This organization of Glovesco, we should try to see it as something like an NGO, because I'm been working in Indonesia, and more recently, since the last 2 years, I've been trying to do something in Cambodia, a very difficult place to preach, but very difficult to establish a religious organization. So we established, and just recently were able to register this Glovesco organization, which is approved by the government, which will allow us to actually introduce the basic concepts of Krishna consciousness within the Maharashtra framework, which also involves us, okay, as we will touch on, but only very briefly today, the whole educational aspect. And that's why Janasmi was here also, because we've written, I'll just mention this also, three books. The first one we brought out last year called Make Vrindavan Villages, and the second one entitled Varnashram Education, and the third one is Implementing Varnashram. So getting back to our PowerPoint here, ISKCON's four movements. I'd like to ask, we'll start with a small quiz here for everybody. Who can identify what is the main activity going on the upper left hand photo? Kirtan. Kirtan, yes. So the first movement is actually, in the second slide we'll be seeing it, but that identifies the first movement, which Srila Prabhupada explains, and this whole PowerPoint is going to present that into detail. So then going to the right, deity worship, correct, very good. And the third one, which left, well, okay, maybe from far away it's difficult. Yeah, it is chanting, but Prabhupada is about ready to initiate somebody. Diksha, spiritual initiation. And the fourth one, for those who are from mantra, especially. Hyderabad Farm. Prabhupada was visiting the Hyderabad Farm meeting with our devotees at that time. So the fourth one is actually the fourth movement that Prabhupada spoke about, which we will see in the second slide here. They are as follows. ISKCON's four movements. Number one, the Sankirtan movement. These are actually words that are coming directly from Srila Prabhupada, and I'm giving the quotes on that. Number two, temple worship movement. Number three, the spiritual initiation movement. And number four, Varnashram movement. However, number four, Srila Prabhupada refers to it as the classless society movement. We'll come back to that a little later. So we're going to go one by one. Sankirtan movement. Two important letters, or two important references. The first one is this one, to the Honorable Sardar Dr. Vallabhbhai Patel, Deputy Prime Minister, sorry for the mistake there, Government of India. In the midst of multifarious duties, Gandhiji never missed to attend to his Rangpur Kirtan meeting. This is one of the soundest methods for the cultural devotion to God. In the opinion of Srimad Bhagavatam, one who is imbibed with the devotion of Godhead is also endowed with all the good qualities of the gods, but one who is not a devotee of Godhead has not any value for his good qualities, because he utilizes his so-called good qualities for ulterior purposes. Second part of this letter, continues. As such, the easy way to raise the moral standard of people in general is to make this Sankirtan movement more popular all over the world by philosophical discourses based on reasoning and moral and ethical codes. the Vaishnavacharyas especially, Lord Chaitanya and his six Goswami disciples, give us ample opportunity and scope for this work. Lord Chaitanya first inaugurated this Sankirtan or Aranga movement, and the later Goswamis supported it by scholarly philosophical synthesis. The six Sandarbhas by Srila Jiva Goswami are marvelous in this respect. And the last portion. Okay, well, now we go to a very important writing given by Srila Prabhupada. Many devotees are familiar with it, but many devotees I found during our seminar have not actually read very attentively, or some people have not even read this essay on Gita Nagari, which appeared in the Back to Godhead magazine 1956. It's on the folio. Leaders and politicians may take lessons from the life of Mahatma Gandhi, who was undoubtedly a great and busy politician, with respect to his daily evening prayer meeting and regular recitation of the text of Bhagavad Gita. He followed this principle of life most faithfully, even up to the last moment of his lamented life. People in general, and the leaders in particular, may follow the footprints of Mahatma Gandhi if they at all want to do some good to the followers. Such regular habit of reciting the reading of the Bhagavad Gita makes one able to get rid of the demoniac way of life and gradually rise up to the plane of pure devotional life of the gods. Another portion, I believe, of the same text. When such devotional life is enriched by recitation of Bhagavad Gita, all of the qualities of the gods automatically overcome the reciter without any extraneous effort on his part. And a person, however qualified he may be in the mundane sense of the term, if he is devoid of the principles of devotional life, as above mentioned, shall surely hover in the mental plane of uncertainty, and as such will always fail to enter into the numinous existence of life. Those who have developed such numinous existence of life, generally known as spiritual life, are called Mahatmas. In the language of the Bhagavad Gita, the definition of real Mahatma is given in this book. So we're making a small comparison here. Lord Chaitanya began the Harinam Sankirtan in the streets of Navadvip Dham with Mridanga cartels. Srila Prabhupada began his Harinam Sankirtan in the streets of New York, actually in the park, Thompson Square Park, with Madhaka and cartels. The advanced stage of Nam Sankirtan, the writing of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, the advanced stage of Nam Sankirtan, Srila Prabhupada's books, the Brihat Vrindavan. So in summary, summarizing the first movement, Sankirtan movement, taken in this context, Japa Kirtan, Japa meditation, Vrindavan Kirtan, or Kirtan in the public, we had Mridanga Kirtan book distribution, Bhaktivedanta Book Trust promoting distribution of books, Bhaktivedanta Institute promoting scientific preaching, especially Gurukulas, existing in Mayapur, Govardhan, other places, BIHCT also, Miet here in Sri Lanka, Mayapur, and Bhaktivedanta College in Bangladesh and other places. So in other words, the holy name and then extension of that. Second movement, temple worship movement. Again, we go back. We'll be doing this for the four areas. The second item is to take up the temple entry or temple worship movement. This is, in a real sense, a theistic cultural movement. So often spoken to by Srila Prabhupada, how our movement is a cultural movement, educational movement. And the facility or opportunity shall be open to everyone, whatsoever he may be. All the past acharyas accepted everyone who desires to offer his respect to God, inspired by transcendental love and devotion. We can support this movement of Gandhiji on the authority of Shastras. There are thousands and lakhs of temples all over India, but they are not always properly managed. Continuing, some of them have become the positive dens for undesirable activities, and most of the owners or trustees of such temples do not know how to utilize these sacred buildings. Neither modernized gentlemen have any interest for these neglected theistic institutions. Originally, the aim of these temples was to diffuse spiritual culture in every quarter. These temples or theistic institutions should therefore be reorganized as the center of spiritual culture according to the authentic principles as laid down in the scriptures like Bhagavad Gita. Continuing. continuing or now going to the SCL Gita Nagari, the temple entry movement. Al Mahatma Gandhi is another attempt to deliver people in general from spiritual degradation, and by such movement, the mass of people can be saved from gliding down to the lowest status of demonic life. Even when he was at Noakhali during the dark hours of the partition days, he never hesitated to reinstall the deities of Radha and Krishna. And by such examples, he had done immense work for the people in general. Leaders and politicians may take lessons from this particular incident of his life. It may be said in this connection that there are thousands and thousands of Vishnu temples all over India. The same theme in these two writings. Next. And again, and these temples were originally meant for enlightening the mass of people in spiritual values so that they could live in peace and harmony with higher aim of life. At the present moment, in most cases, these spiritual educational centers have been rendered into rendezvous of demoniac dens for want of the culture of Bhagavad Gita. They have become, on the contrary, so many plague spots for preaching atheism and advancement of demoniac principles for want of regular propagation of spiritual education under able leadership. And the last portion, I believe, the mission of Gita Nagari must have its aim amongst others to rectify the anomalies that have entered into the life of these centers of spiritual education and regenerate them to the sense of spiritual education through the exemplary life of devotees that may be created from the practical life of the members of the Gita Nagari. The Bhagavad Gita encourages us in such spiritual culture as follows. In that verse is quoted, those who worship the demigods will take birth amongst the demigods, and those who worship the ancestors go to the ancestors, those who worship ghosts and spirits will take birth among such beings, and those who worship me will live with me. So again, a small comparison here. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inspired the Goswamis of Vrindavan just by their presence, actually inspired, they inspired other people to build huge, massive temples, which became the main temples of Vrindavan, seven main temples of Vrindavan. Then, number two, the Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he discovered, established the Yoga Pitta in Sri Dhammayapur, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada, the 64 Gaudiya, and then Arshila Prabhupada established the first temple in New York, and then others in America. Then when he came here in India, established here in Mayapur Dham, Vrindavan, and Mumbai, and then all over the world we're traveling. And we find nowadays all over the world some wonderful temples where we have very high standards as taught to us by Srila Prabhupada. So the third aspect is a spiritual initiation movement. Kindly bear with me, I know this is a lot of material here, but I think it's very important that we just continue through this. The third item is to take up the Harijana movement. This movement is, in a real sense, the spiritual initiation movement. And this should be organized in such a manner that people all over the world may take interest in it. The Harijana is a word which shall not be used neglectfully as it is done now, but attempts should be made to make everybody a Harijana. Harijana means the recognized man of Hari, the personality of Godhead, and thus he, the Harijana, is as important as a man, as an important man as the knight or the king. So Harijana movement should be strengthened more scientifically to turn every person who is now Mayajana into a Harijana. And again, the Mayajana is a word which is applicable to a person who is ordinarily engaged in the service of materialistic pursuits, whereas the Harijana is a person whose main business is to attain perfection of human life, as Mahatma Gandhi did, by spiritualistic realization. This movement should therefore be conducted under strict disciplinary methods, as prescribed by the Mahajana or the Harijana of accredited merit. In such a movement, we shall have full cooperation of the sadhu community in India. And then, going to our essay on Gita Nagari, 1956, Mahatma Gandhi started the Harijana movement in order to raise the status of the fallen people, either by social injustice or otherwise. By such pious movement, But such pious movement may not be restricted only amongst the Bhangis and Tamars who are proclaimed as such for their unclean habits or in some cases by social injustice. But such movement may be extended amongst those also who are passing the society as Brahmanas and Kshatriyas, etc. But in practice, their mentality is more degraded than the lowest of the Bhangis and Chamars. Harijana means the associate of God Himself. Second, probably last portion, Chamars and Bhangis, or for that matter, people who are of the mentality of Chamars and Bhangis, both in habit and dealings, can never be promoted to the position of Harijanas unless and until such persons are helped to go up to the place of the Harijanas by the approved method of rules made by actual Harijanas such as Arjuna, Prahlad, Dhruva Maharaj, Dhamaraj, Bhishma, Janaka, Narada, etc. Okay, this is the last portion. There is no bar for anyone to rise up to the position of Harijana, and this is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. The quotation was on the Pita, those who take shelter in me, though they give lowest birth, women, Vaishyas, merchants, and Shudras, workers, can attain the supreme destination. Comparing within, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu promoted both Shiksha, Diksha Parampara, induced everyone to chant the holy name, personally counted himself, followed regulations, advised people to take shelter of a spiritual master. You all become guru from the Goswamis to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta to Thakur, all promoted spiritual diksha. Within our ISKCON society, we have various programs. They're called congregational programs, Vibhakta program, youth programs, Sunday school program, Amhata programs, Bhakti Riksha programs, congregational preaching in many different facets as well. These are all promoting and fit into the spiritual initiation movement where people under following various rules and regulations become qualified to be linked up in Guru Parampara. Now we come to So we started with number one on the top left, Sankirtan movement leading to temple worship movement, leading to spiritual initiation movement, and then number four is what we're going to be entering right now. Just a small note, is that actually, okay, this is interesting. Yeah. Before we enter the fourth movement, it's nice to try and conceptualize it as one of two ways. When we had the seminar, by Bhakti Rupa Prabhu, who's not here right now. Anyways, you are. Oh, you just moved over the chair. Okay, very good. Thank you. Okay, yes. So when Bhakti Rupa Prabhu listened to our presentation, then he went to the blackboard or the whiteboard and made some circles, and the first one that he had drawn at that time was Varnashrama, was it?
Sankirtan.
Okay, do you have the other one? Okay. Bhakti Rupa Prabhu had put Sankirtan here in the middle. Okay, so that's what I'm saying. So you had put Varnashram in the middle.
Yeah,
okay. And in other words, we're trying to conceptualize, trying to understand. And then the second circle, initiation movement, and the third one, tempo.
In other words, the idea behind this diagram, is that everyone can be engaged in the Sankirtan movement by chanting Hare Krishna. Anyone can chant Hare Krishna, no rules, no tempos required, whatever. But within the Sankirtan movement, some will be engaged in the worship of the deity. Okay, not everyone who's chanting Hare Krishna will be engaged in the worship of the deity. So some specialization is there when you worship the deity. Now, of all those who are worshiping, when you worship the deity, then some will become initiated. So within that group of those who are engaged in worship of the deity, some will become initiated. And then some who are become initiated, they'll want to take up in their life the principles of living according to the Varnashram system, and that's living in the circle.
Okay. So that is one view or one concept. Another concept is the following one, is that the Sankirtan movement is in the context of the presentation, where everyone takes up to the chanting of the holy name and studies the philosophy based on Srila Prabhupada's books. And from that, things begin to expand, whereby as one chants the holy name, one develops an interest or a curiosity to visit a temple and learns about temple worship. And then as one continues to chant the holy name, associates with devotees in the temple, then joins some congregation, possibly such as Namhata, whatever it may be, if he's not living in the temple, and qualifies to become initiated. And then by becoming initiated, then he understands that actually there's another dimension, this fourth dimension of Varnashrama. We should proceed right now to explaining what is mentioned by Srila Prabhupada in the 1949 letter. The fourth item is to organize the much-discussed caste system as a solution of natural division of the human beings all over the world. Nationalistic division of human races is artificial, but scientific division of the caste system, as envisioned in the Bhagavad Gita, is natural. We shall have to pick up Brahmanas and others not only from the Indian people, but from the peoples of all over the world. The vitiated caste system of present India is never sanctioned by the scriptures, but the caste system is made by God according to quality and worth of the subject, and it was never designed for the benefit of accidental birth. Next. Again, following 1949, thus whatever is made by God cannot be destroyed by man. Destruction of the caste system as contemplated by some exponents is therefore out of question. By the modes of nature, different persons are imbued with different qualities, and the scientific way of division of human society from the qualitative aspect by the caste system is quite natural. But the basic principle of such caste system is to serve the plan of Godhead, and by doing so, the four orders of caste system make headway by the cooperative method. When such spiritual progress is definitely made, the materialistic progress is automatically effected as a matter of course. That makes a real classless society. Going to the essay of Gita Nagari, Mahatma Gandhi did not approve of the system of birthright castes as prevailing in India, and there is ample support of this movement of casteless society in the Bhagavad Gita in its own way. Casteless society does not mean that there will be no section or subsection of social division. Without such division of social order, no living society can be conceived. But there may not be any such section or subsection simply for the matter of birthright accidents. A Brahmana's son has the right to become a Brahmana, provided he has the rightful qualifications of a Brahmana. Otherwise, he cannot be placed in the exalted position of a Brahmana. That is the verdict of all the revealed scriptures. And again, there are three modes of material nature working all over the world, and they are called the modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance. Every man and every animal is under the influence of either of the modes of nature. As such, it is wrong to calculate that the modes of nature are working only within the boundaries of India. On the contrary, the fact is that nature is working all over the universe, and therefore in other parts of the world also. In the human society, undoubtedly, there are men of different modes of nature, as above mentioned. Persons who are under the influence of the modes of goodness may be classified as Brahmanas. Similarly, those who are under the influence of the modes of passion may be called Kshatriyas, and so on, as they are described in the approved Shastras. We're coming close to an end here. The modes of ignorance, as it goes down by degrees, produces men of such lower and lower qualities, and they are designated as Yavanas, Metsas, Kiratas, Hunas, Ankaras, Govindas, Kashas, Abiras, Shambhas, Kashadayas, etc. And there are 4 lakhs of men of different qualities all over the universe, influenced by the above mentioned laws of nature. From the Gita Nagari, this universal truth must be propagated systematically so that real human society may be established for the benefit of all, dividing the categories of men according to the natural laws of nature. Such social order, on the basis of the Bhagavad Gita all over the world, may be called the institution of natural caste system or the casteless society. In that institution of natural caste system, all divisions of men will be engaged in one transcendental business of spiritual community with equal status of life and with equal importance of cooperative value, as much as the different parts of the one whole body have different functions, only by qualitatively they are one and the same. In that institution of spiritual social order, everyone will have equal right to promote himself to the higher status of life without any malicious competition, and as such, education and culture will be open door for all concerned, as much as the varsity, the university of all state is open for all with equal status of educational right. This is the last one. Caste society will, of course, never allow to place on the same category of a high court judge and a laborer, unless such society will have gone into madness of culture. On the contrary, by establishment of such caste society, as it is stated in the Bhagavad Gita, nobody will be grudging if anyone is recognized as a qualified brahmana on the value of merit only, and not on the basis of birthright claim. Such casteless society is reasonable and acceptable by one and all in the world. And we're finishing actually on this. What is a letter written by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, entitled Saraswati, meant for addressed to his son. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, "People of this world who are proud of their own aristocratic birth cannot claim real aristocracy. Therefore, they attack the pure devotee Vaishnavas, saying they have taken birth in lower class families because of their sins. Thus, they commit offenses. The solution to this problem is to establish the order of Daivi, Varnashrama Karma, something you have started doing. You should know that to be the real service to the Vaishnavas." And we're summarizing here. Classless society movement, Srila Prabhupada, the first such society he established in New Vrindavan. Then, within our own ISKCON society, in terms of a ministry of cow protection and agriculture, established. International Society for Cow Protection, also established, care for cows. And what I mentioned a little earlier, Global Arnashram Education Society, which we established in the year 2002 for promoting the basic ideologies of Arnashrama. Excuse me. Stick it up. Can we take questions? Yeah. Yes. A few.
It's a very wonderful presentation.
Thank you. Prabhupada's presentation.
In India, it's a very touchy subject.
Yes.
There was a movement called the Mandal movement. Somebody who said the suppressed classes, they must be given freedom to come up in life. But their goal is totally nothing to do with Krishna. So our Varnashram is to keep Krishna in the center.
Yes.
So are we going to keep like that from the beginning? Because if we are bringing Krishna in the first place, if we are bringing Krishna immediately, then it's a religious thing. It's not a social justice. It's a very tricky situation.
Yes.
If you put Krishna right in the beginning, they will say it's a religion.
Yes.
So the Muslims and the Christians, they will put the only part of it.
Okay. Everyone has heard the question. That's the question, right? So the idea is that definitely Krishna must be in the center.
Right at the beginning?
Yes.
Then it will be no Hindu society.
No. If we understand the basic principles of Dharma, if we read Srila Prabhupada's purports properly, and if we understand Dharma...
I do.
Okay. So we have to make others understand. Right? We have to become expert in presenting Krishna consciousness not as simply a religious organization, or a religious movement. So Prabhupada stressed, and he mentions here also, it is very much, as a matter of fact, Prabhupada explained, right, we should conquer the world in a cultural way. It's a cultural movement. Of course, we cannot take out the spiritual dimension because that's the basic foundation. You see. As a matter of fact, when Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains about in his Dasamula Tattva, he begins by establishing that actually all knowledge is based on the Vedas, and it begins with the basic principles of God consciousness. The whole institution of Varna Ashrama is based on that basic principle, otherwise it doesn't make any sense. So we need to become expert in presenting Dharma as it is meant to be presented, as universal and practical, very, very practical principles, which meet our needs at all levels, at the physical level, at the mental level, at the social level, and at the spiritual level. That covers everything. So for some people, we may stress more possibly the physical, you know, by organizing society, by teaching people how to live in a more simple, proper life, simple living and high thinking, where we live and grow our own food, we are living in a more sustainable environment. We can preach on that level for people who are having difficulty on the spiritual side. But the spiritual basic principles are there not only in Hinduism. Yeah, I mean, that's one of the basic, I'll just finish on this point, one of the basic points that Prabhupada tried to ram into us, that Krishna consciousness is not some denomination. It is universal truth. I mean, the whole teachings of the Bhagavad Gita are for Christians, are for Hindus, for everyone, because we should be able to present those principles above these material designations, as Prabhupada will explain.
So, this is also in particular reference to your endeavor to get the PhD in Varnashram. So, are you using this word caste society in any of your presentations, in your endeavor to get the PhD?
Actually, it is very difficult in scholarly circles to use certain terms. So you have to use terms which refer to that, but which may not necessarily be directly those terms, you see. Otherwise it becomes too much of a religious thing. So that's what I'm saying, that, you know, just like Srila Prabhupada, when he mentioned those who will go and preach in Buddhist countries, like in Sri Lanka or like we're doing in Thailand and Cambodia, must have the proper approach. It must be very selective in their words, and must be very expert in presenting the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. That is actually the challenge that all of us have, not only in terms of Varnashram, but in all of our preaching activities.
What
last
question?
Well, let's move on to some others. Is the microphone is there?
When one comes to Krishna consciousness, it is understood that he has understood the philosophy. He is more or less a philosopher. Anybody who comes to Krishna consciousness has some Brahminical inclination, then he has understood Krishna. Now, after he comes to Krishna consciousness, we are supposed to designate him either as a Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Shudra. And it's very hard to understand for a man who has understood philosophically Krishna is God to be designated as a Vaishya or Shudra, or especially Shudra. So, how to manage this divisions amongst Vaishnavas?
My answer would be that if one has philosophically understood God, he should be very easily be able to understand what Varnashram. Number one, Krishna himself is giving this system for those who are in this material world, the Varnashrama system. As Prabhupada also explained, is for those who are still connected with and affected by the modes of material nature. And Prabhupada actually had to point this out or give this argument when he was being questioned by some devotees, some disciples, that Srila Prabhupada, we're devotees, we're Vaishnavas, we're chanting the holy name. And then Prabhupada actually pointed out that, well, yes, we're all chanting the holy name, but how many just see how many are having so many difficulties in falling down. Means we're still very much affected and influenced by the noise of material nature. So as long as one is still connected, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur has some very direct quotes on this as well, and Srila Prabhupada, then that system is the designated system, the perfect system, which will enable us to fully, completely liberate us, so to speak, from these modes of material nature and transcend eventually Varnashram. But as long as we're here in the material world, this is the system that Krishna has given.
Person in the mode of nature is also the status conscious.
I'm sorry?
A person who is within the modes of nature.
Yes.
He is status conscious.
He is what?
He is conscious of his status.
He's conscious of his status.
Social status. So, if socially, because he's also within the modes of nature, how will he accept a status which is socially inferior than the sense of somebody else? In other words, for one to accept this lower status, he has to be very transcendental, he has to be very advanced devotee.
Srila Prabhupada, actually, in the last the last quote that was up, Prabhupada indicates that when we understand this terminology of transcendental society, and this is the same explanation given by Narada Muni in the seventh canto of the Bhagavatam. I think most of us have read that beginning 11th chapter, where Narada Muni gives the 30 qualities that every human being should have. And then Prabhupada in the purport explains that it is amongst such people who are having these qualities, means not ordinary people, they will be the best persons to whom we can introduce Varnashram. So in this last chart that was up, that was the point that Srila Prabhupada was making, that when we are understanding the meaning of class to society, meaning we are engaged in devotional service, we're all devotees, then we will very easily, as we do now, as we are beginning to practice, we will recognize who is, you know, more elevated. We will be able to accept somebody who's a Brahmana because he will display the qualities of a Brahmana. It is not that because somebody immediately starts chanting the holy name that he is completely transcending all of these varnas. Yeah.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj.
Yes.
Who is going to determine which one of the person belongs to? Is it going to be an individual, committee, and
subcommittee?
How reliable is that assessment going to be? I mean, this process could also be a lot of confusion.
Your question is answered by Srila Prabhupada in the essay of Itanagari. Srila Prabhupada has given four ways in which one can determine the varna of an individual. This requires that we have qualified brahmanas. The definition of a brahmana is that someone who is actually situated in knowledge, who is controlled in his mind and senses, etc., described in the Bhagavad Gita. So right now we may conceive, how to introduce or how to establish Varnashram as something very difficult possibly even inconceivable. But the directives are given by Srila Prabhupada. Specifically, there are four ways that Prabhupada explains. One is by psychological testing, Prabhupada explains. One is by looking at the, by making a chart, Prabhupada directly mentions astrological chart on a young person. This is traditionally how it was done. And we, as a society, if we train up individuals who are actually qualified brahmanas, can do that. Yes. Yes.
I see that this could create a lot of problems in the following manner. The committee is going to decide this man is a vaishya.
No committee will decide that.
Or so what?
I just mentioned to you, Maharaj, that Prabhupada has
specified. Okay. I mean, you're talking about astrology. Yes. Where are you going to find reliable astrologers?
Prabhupada
once told me that these is they're not reliable astrology. Is that astrology the Vedic science? But it's impossible to find good astrologers. So where are you going to get astrologers? You're going to get chart in everyone. How reliable is the time of birth? And the chart's going to say, okay, you belong to this box. I just think we're going to create more problems than we'll solve than this one.
We have to do it, Maharaj. Prabhupada's ordered it. We have to figure out how to do it.
Okay, so
we've had a lot of trial and error in our society so far, and I think we've learned an awful lot. And we can continue to learn more, and we can be successful in due course of time.
Okay, I'm not through with it. I have another question. And the next one is, where do you plan to start the pilot project? On a farm?
Yes, Srila Prabhupada wanted that we establish models, and I think it's important to bring in this one very key element. Education actually is the key to all of this. That is why Srila Prabhupada spoke about Varnashram College. We need to understand the basic principles of education, which generally most of us do not, because we've all been trained up in modern education. Or we've been exposed to the principles, so-called principles of modern education. So, in other words, yes, it has to start at different places. So where Gurukul training is where it should begin, and there are communities, if you go to some communities in Indonesia, where we have started based on these principles, if you go to Hungary and a few other places, they are attempts in this direction. Yes,
okay, can I just...
Yes.
My concern is, you could have a situation where it's assessed, this one's a Brahmin, and a Brahmin would feel extra privileged by Atmantra or higher stages, and some of the pathway, the Kshatriya, some of the Vaishya. I mean, this thing was happening in such a cautious way that it doesn't create confusion or a higher caste and a lower caste in practice. It was like, just like in the old days in India, the Brahmins exploited their position and hence.
But we cannot take such examples, Maharaj, because the whole system of Varnashrama since the time of Lord Buddha for all these centuries has been off. So we can give quotations of all the misgivings and all the bad examples that have been there. I mean, it is a standard. I think it's very important. Otherwise, we go against the principle that Krishna is giving in the Bhagavad Gita that we are lacking faith in Dharma. We are lacking faith because Varnashrama is Varnashrama Dharma. In the same way that our nature as a spirit soul is to be engaged in devotional service, our conditioned state in this material world is to be engaged in Varnashrama Dharma. We have to understand that. Until we do that, our whole society in general, and our own society of ISKCON will suffer.
Just 2 points. One regarding the astrologers. It's perhaps as far as our future and our fortunes, we may not follow so strictly, but then we do use astrologers in consulting for marriage.
Yes.
We do tend to do that. Generally recommended that get the charts matched up for. So for simple general things, it's not so difficult for an astrologer to tell somebody what is his working capacity, what field is his varna. So maybe that we can use them to a certain extent. I was thinking though that we think of Varna Sudra, Vaishya, we have a preconceived idea what it means. Sudra is obviously his low class, and Kshatriya means he can do whatever he likes, and the Brahmana means he has to be spiritual. We have certain concepts, but perhaps when we study it further and we get a broader perspective of what they really are, that a Kshatriya may be a person who is initiated, he has his Brahmin trait, he has so many other qualities, not just that he rules and he has a sword, but he has many other qualities as well. And when we begin to understand deeper what those qualities are, then they may apply to more and more people.
Even if we read the seventh canon of Bhagavatam, there are 12 qualities given for Shudras. Bhagavad Gita is only one, but there are like 10 or 12 qualities listed in the... someone had a question.
Maharaj, you give a nice presentation. Actually, 2 days before I read the same thing in the Vedabase.
Okay.
So I was just contemplating on that point. There are 2 points. First point is, Prabhupada has stressed in his letter that there are so many Vishnu temples in India. And if we somehow or other organize them, then we can reach the public very nicely.
Yes.
But since right now I'm lacking funds, so please provide some funds. That's the later part of the letter. But now we have funds in our society, and perhaps we can arrange some programs in different temples. We can look into the matter. Then we can reach the public very nicely. And there in the temples we can discuss about this caste system in a very scientific manner. So we can reach the public. And if we have some people interested, then we can organize them, and they can perhaps organize some kind of colleges or so, where people can be trained in these fields. It cannot be directly from ISKCON, but some people, if they are interested, we can teach them many things about Brahmanism and other things. And they can perhaps teach the students who are preparing for IAS, PCS and all other government exams. And in later courses, if they come to a better position in the management, they can help us very nicely. So there are so many temples, and we have a nice facility. ISKCON devotees can go and give presentation on this caste system and caste society. I am saying this because a few days back I gave a presentation in the medical college at Amritsar, and one student, he specifically came and said, you are talking about Krishna, you are talking about so many things, but right now the burning topics are some social topics. The caste system is very, very prevalent here. Why don't you come up with something where we can charge some people to fight against this caste system and do something for society? So if we present what Prabhupada has given, then perhaps we can get some good results.
Just one small comment on what you're saying. Thank you for your presentation. Srila Prabhupada has explained, and this is also further explained by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that we simply need to purify that system. The caste system presently is misused, abused. As Prabhupada points out, there is nothing wrong with the actual system once we understand it. It is because it is the most scientific thing. It is very, very scientific. This is something that will take some time. It will take some time for us to nicely, properly, you know, in detail understand and also implement. But we must know that actually this is dharma. This is part of Sanatana Dharma.
I'm totally supporting you. What I'm saying, we can present what Prabhupada has given.
Yes.
The same way to public.
Yes.
And show it to them that this caste system is actually good for the society.
I would say that one of the important things that we must do as devotees, we should not think that because we are devotees, that we are not able or we are not meant to live. You know, the Varnashrama system is primarily based on an agrarian lifestyle. That agrarian lifestyle was demonstrated in Vrindavan by Krishna Balaram. That is why we have written this book following Srila Prabhupada's order when he said, make Vrindavan. So Prabhupada wanted that we make Vrindavan villages. India is the ideal place to make Vrindavan villages. And it is not that we should have or expect other people to do that. Our own devotees who are not actively preaching in the cities, who are not properly engaged in the cities, should actually be gradually introduced to do that. I mean, most people in India are from that kind of background, maybe not in the last few years, but it is very much part of the culture here, maybe a little bit different than others. But we need to demonstrate by proper example. So in other words, this classless society, or this Varnashrama Dharma, means ultimately setting up models of self-sufficient communities, villages. Prabhupada has spoke extensively about what he called village organization, taking from Gandhi's ideas as well. So that will tie in automatically with whatever temple, because as you mentioned, you know, and as Prabhupada mentioned, there are temples, ancient temples all over India, and not properly utilized or used for bad purposes. So if the local people understand about Varnashrama Dharma, about the system given by Krishna, and if we demonstrate ourselves also, then the chances are people will be able to say, Sakha Prabhu.
This question of dividing the society up and saying that you are a Brahmin, you are a Kshatriya. Prabhupada mentioned that, he said, just like I am sweeping, does it mean I am a sweeper? But we're doing it, we do the needful. So, on the level of devotees, we understand we are Vaishnavas, and the Vaishnavas above all these different castes. But for the, in order to divide the society, get the work done in the society, we take different services, and those services come under these different these four different headings. So we recognize we're devotees, we're not actually Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, or Sudras, but for the sake of organization, we take up the work. So it's not that we become, that the committee says, now you are a Sudra. We're all devotees. But the other thing is that it's not necessary that we have to actually label people either. These things are there for our understanding of the philosophy, but it's not that we have to label somebody that you are this or you are that. But they should be engaged according to their nature. That's the principle.
Yes. A microphone?
Can somebody bring a microphone? Yes. I heard some devotees saying that our main problem is that in our society, preachers, they are doing two things, they are preaching and managing. Then, if only preacher, what I mean by preacher is Brahmin, like, and Varnashram can start from the top of the society first. We should create preachers. Preachers has only to preach.
Yes.
No, not mix preaching with management. Only preachers, they preach, then management means Kshatriyas. They have only to manage. But these also need to train Kshatriyas. That means Kshatriya, the first quality of Kshatriya is sacrifice. He is not self-motivated.
Yes.
Then this need training with also purity of the Kshatriyas. We don't have also this. Then Varnashram can start from the top of the society. This is one. I heard many classes on this topic. But some devotees also said that in Gaudiya Math they have the Varnashram system is there, and ISKCON is lucky. Like when we visit Gaudiya Math, you can see some sweepers are there, some our devotees in ISKCON, they are the university in the Hare Krishna short. Sorry for.
So,
ask a question?
The question, okay. But we don't know, we're going to be hearing from about this topic many times in the future. We have a lot of work to do in this area, so it's not that we have to discuss it threadbare today. This is just a basic introduction to get you thinking in these terms, where we haven't dealt with how this is going to affect your lives as temple presidents. It's just getting you thinking about these ideas. We have some ideas about how this can be a very big weapon in your preaching arsenal, but we're going to be discussing some of those things with the RGB and make some practical programs where you can use this as an important preaching tool. So these will come in future ICC meetings. We'll be talking a lot more about this, so we don't have to have a lot of discussion right now. We have other agenda.
Do you have a question?
Yes,
I have a question. Yes. You could have situations where a temple leader performs Brahminical functions of Gospada, then he also has to do administration and other Kshatriya-oriented duties. And he also has to do some business or something to support the temple. So what would you classify him as?
Devotee.
Anyway, like, no, like the art.
You don't have to, the point Sandhu was making, you don't have to classify people according to, you have to engage people according to their propensities. It's not that you classify people and put them in boxes.
Isn't that already being done? I thought that the man engages the bodies according to their propensity and abilities.
Yes, it's already being done. Now we're going to do it better.
One point in this respect, Maharaj, is that we are actually, when we talk about Varnashrama, and when we talk about Varnashrama communities, we are proposing, as Prabhupada proposes in the essay on Gita Nagari, to establish self-sufficient communities. In other words, we are talking about one very important standing instruction given by Srila Prabhupada many years ago, that wherever we have a temple within a 50 or 100 kilometer radius, we should have, similar to what Vrindavan is meant to be, a self-sufficient community where there will be a link and support between both of them. And it is only when we actually endeavor to establish such self-communities that automatically we will be surprised. We have all of these questions and mental, you know, questions right now, but we will be surprised because Srila Prabhupada makes this point many times, how simplified it will become. When we begin to actually implement based on the basic principles given in our shastras and explained by Srila Prabhupada, then it can only, we can only understand it when we begin to implement it. In the same way that, you know, until we take up the chanting of the holy name, until we live with the bodies, we cannot understand so well.
Prabhupada once mentioned that in emergency, even a lawyer or a doctor becomes a soldier, like in Israel, and if there is war, every citizen would become a soldier. But in normal time, they would be acting as a farmer, as a doctor, as a lawyer. In the same way, sometimes a devotee is acting as a Brahman, as a Kshatriya, mixed up roles. But there must be a specific role designated for a particular person, according to his guna and karma. That's a prominent role he has.
Yes.
And sometimes he acts in another capacity. It does not mean that he doesn't have a specific designation.
Yeah. And that will come out when we have situations which are more normal.
Just one last quick thing that is the point that
did you want to ask a question or the mic is not working? Okay, he lost the question. Just this one last point. We have a few pamphlets on what was presented here, if anybody would like a copy. And if anyone wants to have a copy, if somebody has a pen drive and wants to copy this PowerPoint, we don't mind sharing it with you if you want to have a copy. Thank you very much.
You want to say something, Maharaj? Okay, please.
Somebody else? Oh, Maharaj, should I say something? Because two Maharajis are sitting too close together.
Where is the register book that here it is here.
Yeah, everyone, please, you know, the minute book should move. Don't just let it sit on the table in front of you. The minute book should always be moving, and everyone should make sure they sign it every day when they come to the meeting.
When we started our Bulakar Sankirtan party in Vrindavan, Srila Prabhupada did the inaugural function, and he gave a speech. So that time, Srila Prabhupada, he was asking us to go to the villages, and he said amongst several things, one thing was emphasizing that you have to go to the village and get people to chant Hare Krishna so that they develop a ruchi for the name of the Lord, so that they continue to stay in the village with whatever bare minimum necessities available within the radius of some kilometers. He was also reminding at that time of Mahatma Gandhi's had this concept, village or village industry and whatever resources. But then he said Mahatma Gandhi failed this because he did not have this program of introducing this ruchi or the holy name, and people kept running from villages where they are, well, they are Vaishyas, maybe some of them are Kshatriyas, some of them are Brahmins. But then they go to the city and then they become Shudras, or they become even lower, they degrade themselves by going to the cities, working in a rubber factory. And they're advertising, I will give you 20 rupees, those days 20 rupees is a lot of money. They're all running there. So the way to keep people in the villages and whatever varnashram, just some residue of varnashram is still there in the villages. Prabhupada said the elephant, when it is dead, it has a value. Even if it is the varnashram system is there, and some of that is still there in the villages, so it has a value. And Mahatma Gandhi failed, but then Prabhupada was, the Hare Krishna movement could become successful, and then he was sending us to the villages to get them to chant. And so one point could be that the chanting of Hare Krishna is important in order to follow the varnashram, unless the ruchi is there, and you will not be settled and situated in your own varna or ashram, you will only glide down to the shudra level, kalo shudra sambhavata. So the constant factor or this chanting or this, you have different movements talked there, this movement, that movement, that movement, and then coming to varnashra movement. Unless other movements are there, only varnashra will not work. It is a complete comprehensive package, part of, and then it is varnashram, Devi varnashram. Otherwise it is varnashram or the Kaliyu past and all that, the Janma.
Thank you very much, Bhakti Raghav Maharaj and team, for the presentation. We'll be hearing more from that in the future.
Fantastic. What a planning. You know, in India today, Maharaj Bhakti Raghav Swami, Varnashram is working in reverse gear. In India now, the way things are going at the government level and business, the Dalits and the lower caste are controlling everyone, including the Brahmins and the Kshatriyas.
That's on the NUP.
And in India, if you are a member of the Brahmin by caste by birth, they're doomed. No job, no admissions, no nothing. So people are cheating on birth now and writing, you know, scheduled caste names. So that's the problem.
So that means we have a lot of
work. So we're not really worse care.
Okay, thank you very much, Hare Krishna. So we have a little business to do here. There's an announcement that the tomorrow is Bangla Band. So some people have already made their other arrangements and gone, but if you have to be in Calcutta tomorrow evening or tomorrow sometime, there may be a problem. So does anyone have any, you made any change in plans or whatever, that they're not going to be available tomorrow morning, that was they're originally planning on being here tomorrow morning for the next session of the ICC?
Yeah, a few, what, 4 or 5 devotees have left. That's about all. I don't think we're going to, it doesn't look like there's going to be a lot more problem than that. Okay, so we can continue on. We have enough. I don't think we're going to be able to finish everything today. We'll finish at 7 o'clock, and then we'll continue. We started at 4, Maharaj. 4 to 7, our 3-hour session, 4 to 7. Then we'll reconvene tomorrow at 10 to finish our work. If we finish before, significantly before lunch, that will be good tomorrow. Okay, so next item will be the election.